Will you please stand as I read the word of the Lord? On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked to put a little from the land. And he sat down and taught people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them. When they came and filled both the boats, so that it began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Please be seated.
Thank you, Sienna. Well, good morning. For those of you who may not be acquainted with me, my name is Nat. I'm one of the pastors here at Neighborhood Church, and we're continuing this morning in our series through the Gospel of Luke. So I want to encourage you, if you have your Bibles or your Bible device, to just pull that out. I'd love to have that in front of you as we go through our teaching this morning. Before we get started, I'd like to take just a moment to pray for you all. So will you join me as I do that? Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather as your people. Thank you for the promise of Jesus' presence in our midst. And my prayer this morning, O God, is that it would be your pleasure for those to not merely be words, but that you would impress upon us the reality of the presence of Jesus in this place right now. And that you would work among us in the proclamation of your word, that we would not get up from this room and leave unchanged. So do your work now, O God. Make a glorious name for yourself among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you ever been riding high on the clouds of excitement, only to have it crashing down when you realized you were in totally over your head? I remember a time in high school when a buddy of mine had purchased a decommissioned police car. And he had these plug-in flashers, red and white flashers, on his dash. We would go out on Friday nights after the dance or whatever, and as all of the high schoolers were zooming by on this road, we'd flip those flashers on, you know, and brake lights everywhere, you know, and they're slowing down. It was hilarious. I mean, it was just great fun. So one night we'd gone down to visit his brother, who had a position on a YWAM ship, the Anastasis, and we were coming back from that trip. It's late at night. And we're somewhere between Seattle and Tacoma, going down this big multi-lane highway, and a brown sports car, Porsche-like sports car, goes zooming by us. So what do you think we did? My friend hit those flasher lights and hit the gas, and we were on that guy's tail, you know? And so we're going down this highway, and cars are moving out of the way, you know? And finally, this brown sports car pulls over, you know? And so we think, well, what do we do now, you know? So we just kept on going. But it wasn't too shortly after that that this brown sports car was actually tailing us. He was on our tail. And we thought, oh, this, what are we going to do now? So we just, you know, kept, you know, eyes straight ahead and kept going. And then he pulls up alongside us. So I'm in the passenger seat, and he's like right here, you know. I am not going to look at this guy. So I'm just like, you know. But I stole a glance over, and I looked, and he was holding up his police badge. So then he pulled us over. So talk about going from the heights of elation to, in a second, the moment of terrified dread. That was it. You know, that's what we had experienced. Well, I share that story because in our passage this morning, Peter and his fishing buddies get caught up in this miraculous haul of fish. It's an unbelievable turn of fortune for them. But Peter's response is not celebration. So the question I want us to grapple with for a few minutes this morning is, why does Peter respond to this incredible moment the way he does? And what does that tell us about Peter? What does that tell us about who Jesus is? And hopefully, by implication, what might be the significance for us in that today? So let's just begin in, beginning of chapter, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, we read, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat." So just to kind of set the scene a little bit, Jesus is along the shore of the Lake of Gennesaret. That's just the Sea of Galilee. There was a region by Capernaum known as Gennesaret, and so Luke refers to it as the Lake of Gennesaret, but it's the Sea of Galilee. There's a large crowd that's gathered, and he wants to teach. And so as a matter of kind of practical purposes, he gets in a boat so that you know, he can speak to the crowd better, acoustics are better. And so he's preparing to do this. And so he calls on Simon, who we know is Peter, so that he can volunteer his boat. So why Peter? Jesus already knows, I would argue, what he's going to do. This isn't just random. Peter just happens to be like, "Oh, could you help me out?" No. This isn't just about Jesus getting together the logistics of how he can do his teaching. Jesus is setting the stage for what is about to happen. Peter isn't just a fisherman, happens to be there helping out. He's being positioned to hear the very words of God up close. Jesus is orchestrating everything in this scene. He already knows Peter's heart. He knows the miraculous catch that's coming. He knows the call he's going to extend to Peter. You might say this is a divine setup. Jesus has Peter right where he wants him. He already knows what he's going to do. But it's also worth noting that Peter also knows something about Jesus. Sometimes we think that, you know, Peter's just on the shore and Jesus shows up and says, "Hey, come follow me." And, you know, they didn't know who this guy was, but they decide to follow. But actually, Peter has some acquaintance with Jesus from our teaching last week. You may have noted in chapter 4 that Jesus had left a synagogue, and he goes to Peter's home to heal his mother-in-law, who was severely ill. So Peter has experienced this already, and after that, it says that many people were bringing their ill, and Jesus was healing them and casting out demons, right? That was all happening at Peter's house. So Peter has seen some things in what Jesus has been doing around. Incidentally, it may occur to some of you that this passage that we're studying is very similar to some accounts of Jesus calling Peter and Andrew and James and John on the, you know, shores of the Sea of Galilee that we find in Mark chapter 1 and in Matthew chapter 4. My understanding is that the details of those different incidents are different enough that they're not describing the same thing. So I think those happened earlier, and this is what's happening later after Peter has seen his mother-in-law healed and a number of other things. So Peter has heard Jesus teach before. He's seen miracles. He's he has some understanding of who Jesus is. But at this point, he's still kind of one of the crowd. He's an observer. He's not yet fully committed, but he is stuck in the boat with Jesus. Have you ever been volunteered to do something that you didn't exactly want to do? Maybe at work or a family gathering, maybe at church. And you're sitting there and you're hoping no one calls on you, and then boom, someone calls you out or signs you up and says, "You'd be great for that," right? And you don't really want to do it. You're not thrilled about it, but you feel kind of stuck. And so you go along with it anyway. That's kind of where Peter is, right? He didn't raise his hand and say, "Hey, I want to do this." No, he's tired, but now he's in the boat, and Jesus is teaching, and Peter has a front row seat, probably with no clue about what's just about to take place. So what happens next? It says in verse 4, "And when he had finished speaking," that is Jesus, "he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch.'" And we need to take a minute to reflect on just how unreasonable of a command this must have seemed to Peter. So Jesus is a teacher, he's a healer, he's a religious expert, we might say. He might even be a great carpenter, but he's no fisherman. Peter is the fisherman. He knows the trade inside and out, right? And he has toiled, Peter and his crew, they've toiled all night long and taken nothing. And now it's the middle of the day, not the time when you go out fishing. They're tired, they're worn out, they're ready to go home, and Jesus is telling them to go out fishing, right? Now, I love to fish, but I'm no expert fisherman, right? So when my dad or some of my fishing buddies take me out to fish occasionally, I'm not like telling them, "Okay, go there and fish there and use this kind of a lure and this is how you should fish and what you should." No, I'm like, "Thanks for taking me along. Show me how to do this," right? I'm asking the experts to tell me how to fish, but that's not what's happening here. Here's Peter's reluctant protest. "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing." I mean, can't you just hear the exhaustion in Peter's voice as he says this? He's thinking, "We've worked hard, we're tired, there's no fish out there, we just want to go home." I wish I had a snapshot of the expression on Peter and Jesus' face as this is going on. So Peter's like, "Yeah, we did this," and Jesus just kind of smiling at him knowingly, like, "Yep, okay." Yeah, and so what's Peter do finally? He says, "But at your word, I'll let down the nets." You know, he doesn't agree to do it because it makes sense. He agrees because Jesus has asked. It's Jesus' word, reluctantly, but still obeying. So what happens next to this fisherman and his novice buddy who doesn't know what he's doing? Well, it says that when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners to come in the other boat to come and to help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So I'm guessing that at first, Peter is probably thinking, "Okay, we'll do this, Jesus. You know, we'll go ahead and push our boats out," and, you know, just kind of throws the net overboard with a bit of a sigh. You know, "Okay, you know, we'll do this." And then suddenly everything changes, right? Because those nets that they threw aboard start kind of, you know, filling up, right? And tugging, and the ropes get tight, and soon there's a lot of fish in this net. And the nets are actually starting to break apart. And if you're a fisherman at this point, you're starting to freak out, right? I mean, it's a lot of fish, but you're also, your boat is getting dragged underwater, and the nets are breaking. And so it says that they signaled to their buddies. Now, I love this because you know how fishermen, you know, signal, right? Like if you're out on the lake and you're fishing and there's a bunch of people over, but your buddy kind of comes along and shouts across the water, "So how's it going?" And he said, "Well, we've got a few here and there, you know, just trying." But you're not going, "Hey, we got fish over here," you know. You've got this sort of signal system worked out in the secret language because you don't want to give the stuff away to your non-fishing buddies, right? And so you kind of have the signal that you give people, like where to go fish, right? So I don't know what kind of signals they were using, but somehow they gave a signal. I'm assuming it's in the middle of a boat in a lake. It wasn't smoke signals. I'm assuming that's not what's going on here. But they signaled their friends to come out and help them because it was just such an amazing catch. They couldn't handle it on their own. But even with two boats, they begin to sink under the weight of the fish. And these seasoned fishermen have never seen anything like this. This is not just an amazing catch. This is supernatural. And the contrast is undeniable. Out all night, on their own, nothing. Jesus in the boat, and it's more than they can handle, more than they can take in. So imagine yourself in Peter's shoes at this moment. How would you react to this great haul of fish that's just come in? Maybe with some high fives, "Yeah, that's the great day of fishing ever," you know? Or some celebration. We're set for months. Can you believe this? I mean, I can take the next 4 weeks off, right? You know? Or maybe the business wheels start turning and Peter's like, "Hey, Jesus, you know, we could make something like this work out. We could partner up, you know? You want to join the firm, you know?" But Peter doesn't react with excitement. His response is almost unimaginable. Verse 8 we read, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.'" So the first thing that Jesus does is he falls at Jesus' feet. He falls at his knees. You know, just imagine this. He's in a boat full of flopping, slimy fish. And he throws himself down at the knees of Jesus. This is no, you know, kind of casual bow, curtsy to Jesus. This is collapse before God with fear and reverence about what has just taken place. And the abundance of fish in the boat is no longer the focus, but Jesus is. And then Peter's unexpected plea, "Depart from me, Lord." Why would Peter ask Jesus to depart from him after this amazing occurrence that's just taken place? I mean, Jesus has just filled his boat with fish. Why is Jesus saying, "Go away from me"? I think there's a couple of clues in the text. First, what Peter says immediately following that, "For I am a sinful man." Peter feels exposed. He's not just in the presence of power, but of holiness. This is more than just a miracle of fish. This is a revelation. This is God's presence in the boat. This is one who wields the power of God in the boat with Peter. And his reaction isn't about the fish. It's about his own unworthiness in the presence of one who wields such power. Second clue I see is in what Jesus says to him is, "Don't be afraid," right? Which indicates to me that Peter was probably afraid, right? He was feeling fear in the presence of Jesus. This isn't just humility. This is holy terror, like standing before someone who is so far beyond yourself, so far more powerful. And so he throws himself down and realizes that he's unworthy. He's a sinful man. Now, this reaction isn't unique to Peter. You might recall to mind a couple of other incidents. For instance, in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve had sinned, right? And what do? They hide themselves from the presence of God, right? They try and get out of the presence of God. We also have this amazing scene of the prophet Isaiah, where he has a vision of the throne room of the Lord in all of its holiness. And what does he cry out? Woe is me. I am ruined. I'm destroyed. I am lost in the presence of one this great and this holy. Sinners do not stand casually, comfortably in the presence of the Holy One. Peter knows he has no business being in the boat with Jesus. I wonder, have you had that encounter with Jesus? Have you realized that there's no hiding, no bluffing, no pretense, no putting on a show for Jesus? Just raw, naked exposure before Jesus, who wields the word of God and the power of God, and he sees right through all of your facades. That is what I believe Peter was experiencing in some form in response to what Jesus had just done. Awareness of his sinfulness, unworthy, afraid, threatened, so uncomfortable that he says, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." And here's where we might expect Jesus to offer some reassurance, right? Like, Peter, you're being too hard on yourself. Come on. You're actually a really good guy, Peter. You know? Or, you know, Peter, I like you just the way you are. I wouldn't change a thing, right? No, Jesus doesn't say any of that. He doesn't soften Peter's self-assessment. He doesn't deny Peter's unworthiness. Instead, he does something astonishing. He addresses Peter's fear with a divine word of grace. Do not be afraid. Jesus doesn't reject Peter's confession. He meets it with grace. He doesn't pretend sin isn't real, isn't a thing with Peter and others. He speaks hope into it. Jesus knows Peter is a sinful man. But he also knows that he is going to die for this man so that he won't be condemned, but be saved by grace through faith in him. This is the heart of Jesus. This is the heart of God. He doesn't deny our desperate state. He meets us in it with a word of grace and power to save. But Jesus doesn't just remove Peter's fear. He calls him into something greater, doesn't he? Verse 10, from now on, you will be catching men. This isn't just about who Peter was. It's about what Jesus will make him into, right? Peter, you think you're a bad man who is a pretty good fisherman. But I'm going to make you into a redeemed man who is a great fisher of men. That's what's going on here in the boat with Jesus. And then in verse 11, it says, "And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." And so in light of this passage, I want to just encourage us to consider, reflect on a few questions. And the first is, have you encountered this same Jesus? Have you ever felt exposed, ashamed, threatened, afraid, knowing that he sees you completely? Knowing that in Jesus' hands lies the power to either make you or break you. Have you encountered the same Jesus? Secondly, have you heard his word of grace? "Fear not, O Peter. Fear not, O one trusting in Jesus." Right? That's a word of grace. Have you heard Jesus speaking to you that word of grace? In your sinfulness, that he would come and say, "Fear not. I have the power to save you." So then, how will you respond to this Jesus? Holds it all in his hands, but he says, "Fear not." Peter went from begging Jesus to leave to leaving everything in order to follow Jesus. Isn't that amazing? What about you? What would leaving everything look like for your life? You know, I know you're not all fishermen. Doesn't mean leaving boats. It probably doesn't mean that, you know, all of you need to go and quit your jobs, and, you know, but it means something for you to leave something behind in order to follow Jesus more fully. And the question is, what would you leave in order to follow Jesus more fully? So we started this morning with a story about some young teenager in a decommissioned police car getting pulled over. Right, remember that? Yeah. So we were guilty